What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. As always, I hope you are having an unbelievable day, and it's about to be even better when you join us for this week's guest episode. And also, as you may have heard of on the last few shows, this is actually going to be our last guest episode on this show, because episode 400, we are going to be taking the pause on the show for a bit of time and kind of stopping the show for now. So I am so excited to bring you this final guest episode on the show that is so powerful. It is with a woman named Jen Cassetta. And a little bit about Jen: she is an empowerment coach. She's the author of a book called The Art of Badassery. She is a keynote speaker and a self-defense expert whose mission is to help people feel strong, safe, and powerful from the streets to the boardroom. And so on this show, on this episode, we talk about how being in New York while 9/11 was happening, while the towers were hit, truly changed her life forever. We talk about the art of badassery and how you can channel it into your life. We talk about how you can become a black belt in your finding direction journey, and so many other nuggets that I promise you are going to make an impact on your life. So I am so excited for you to join us on this episode. And without further ado, here we go. Jen Cassetta, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Stu. Excited for it.
Yeah, me too. And so, you know, as we dive into our conversation today, where I'd kind of love for us to start is as you sort of first stepped foot into, you know, the quote unquote real world, kind of like the professional chapter of your life. And what I'd love to kind of learn from you is, you know, as you take that step, I think for a lot of people, it can be overwhelming. It can be anxiety inducing, right? It's like you're about to start your real life, you know, your professional life. And I'm curious, as you kind of went into that chapter, what was like your mindset, like as you took that kind of first steps?
Yes. Great question, Stu. I wish I had a better answer than this, but at 21 years old, yeah. I did not have much of a plan. I did That's not cool. have much of a, you know, a North Star. I was very scattered and didn't know what I wanted to do, to be honest. I was living in New York City and I knew that felt good. I went and got some, you know, some corporate job for about, I think it only lasted about 1 or 2 years. And I bounced around even between that. Before I actually started on a path.
Interesting. If you had a moment to go back to that sort of 21-year-old Jen, anything you would want to share with her? She kind of goes into that chapter.
I would say it's okay. You know, you don't have to have your life figured out at 21 years old, and you don't need to know, and go explore different work and jobs and careers and industries even. So I always had a second job. I would, I hostessed at restaurants. I then waitressed and worked my way up to a bartender because I thought that was the glamorous thing, you know, the glamorous part of the job. And I did that for years into my 20s while I always had a day job as well. And it lit me up. I networked. I met so many new people, friends, customers.
Yeah.
And it really helped me feel very independent and grown up, if you will.
Love that. So cool. And so,
yeah, and I always had a box of cash, which felt really good too.
Why would you have a box of cash?
Because back then everyone paid in cash. So you got tipped out at the end of the night in cash. So I always had like this box of money in my apartment. And I just like, I don't know, it just felt so good to have this box of money around.
Yeah. That's awesome. I've had a box of money once in my life, actually twice. Once when I sold candy in high school. Second, when I was saving up for some trip and I was like, I made a box and there were pictures of the place I was going to go on the outside. And every time I'd make money, I'd throw a little bit in there for it. Yep. It is fun when you have a box of money. You're just like, hopefully nobody breaks into my house. But aside from that, this is great.
Right, exactly. I don't think anyone was breaking into my apartment back then, but yeah, it just goes to show, obviously I'm older than you, and you know, cash was king.
Yeah. So cool. So you did the kind of jumping around for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you kind of started your path. So, you know, two mm-hmm. years out, you finally feel like, okay, I'm starting to find my direction now. Yeah. And so can you kind of fill us in a little bit in that chapter of your life?
Sure thing. So, you know, I started out as like a media buying assistant at some media company. And then I bounced around and just kind of worked as an assistant to owners of different branding companies. Hmm. Finally, I basically got poached to go work with a couple who had this beautiful loft in downtown Manhattan where they were going to be doing event spaces. And because of my love for the nightlife and the restaurants and the hospitality industry, I said yes. So I went to work for them and I was going to be the marketing person for this event space. So from event planner to marketing, you know, kind of all in one wrapped up. And I worked for them for a few months until basically I almost lost my life on September 11th because that space was three blocks south of the World Trade Center. And I showed up to work that morning. Obviously, so when I got out of the subway at Wall Street, I had looked up and saw black smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center. So the towers had been hit already, but still standing. People were completely panicked on the streets. I went to my place of work and the doorman wouldn't let me upstairs. Instead, he said, you can go use the phone in the lobby. So I went to make a call. And who do I call? I called my mother, figured she'd be worried. And within seconds, the first tower fell. So this enormous explosion, it's still kind of very fuzzy in my memory. I just remember all these people being, you know, swarming into the lobby for safety. I get pushed into a closet with them. I think I'm absolutely going to die. I freeze. I panic until this woman came over to me, asked me my name, said, you know, Jennifer, I'm Nancy. And the two of us were going to get out of here today. So to make a very long story short, her and I got out of the building. We were all evacuated. We ran all over downtown looking for a safe place for hours. Second tower fell, we were evacuated again. And then finally I had the idea to take Nancy to the martial arts school, the dojo that I had been training at for the previous year. And this is where I feel like the story begins. Because for the first time that day, I felt this very deep sense of safety, you know, as safe as I could be in that moment.
Right.
As safe as I was all morning.
Totally.
And you know, again, fast forward weeks and months after, I was out of a job. So again, I was relied on my bartending at night to pay the bills. People were drinking heavily in New York at the time. And all I wanted to do was go to the dojo where I felt safe and train in martial arts. So then I just started to ask myself questions, right? Quality of your life is quality of your questions. How can I make this a career? How can I share these benefits with other people? And I slowly, and again, over a 10-year period. But first I did, right away, I became a personal trainer. So I went to a boutique gym in downtown Manhattan and got certified and then started my business afterwards. And then over a 10-year period, got credential after credential, went back to school and built a business.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I love it. And go ahead.
Well, that's the story. There, like I said, there was no North Star. There was no dream until that happened to me. I really was just kind of floating around figuring out what felt good.
Yeah. And I think a beautiful thing that I see in your story too, it's like one of my mentors told me this a decade ago. And it's always stuck with me. He said, like, a shitty plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow because tomorrow doesn't exist. And like sort of the way that I almost visualize it is you're saying that you're saying, how can I make this part of my life? It's like, you were like, let me just take a step, right? It wasn't this, I need to figure out everything for the next 20 years. It was like, this feels good.
Yeah.
So how can I do more of this? And I think that's such like a powerful lesson for anybody that's kind of in this place of figuring out. It's like, just ask yourself, like, what in your life feels good? What increases your energy? What do you enjoy? And simply just asking yourself, like you said, how can I make this more of my life? It's like, if you do more of that and you do less of the things that you want, I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's such a way to create that North Star to, you know, have more joy in our life.
Yes, absolutely. So, I am on a mission for more joy for sure. So obviously that was 22 years ago, right? And it's a long journey.
Yeah.
It's a long process. At least it's been for me. So, but just taking one step after another.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, like one of our good friends and mentor to both of us, Tony Robbins, right? He says most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in a decade. Mm. And it's like, you know, your life is proof of that. You're like, hey, the last 2 decades I've put in all this work, and it's, you know, someone may Google you today and go, oh my God, she's doing all this stuff and she's crushing it. And it's like, it's not an overnight success. It's you know, and I think that's part of, like, I don't know, you look at some of today's society and you say, patience, right? It's one of those things that, you know, some people are microwave society. And I'm curious, like, what are your thoughts on being willing to, like, really put in some time towards something?
Yes. I will double down and triple down on that comment, because I get people coming up to me a lot, you know, younger folks, how do you do what you do? How do you become a speaker? How do you get booked on stages? How, you know, how do you do all this? And I'm like, it is a long process. And the one thing I want to point out is, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, when I'm at the dojo training clients, running around town, I didn't have social media. It didn't exist. I'm not showing people all over the world what I'm up to every minute of the day. I'm not free advertising on social media all the time. This was purely word of mouth. So I feel like people that start out today, you have such a leg up that you don't even realize. You're able to speak to people all around the world, potential clients, potential partners, collaborators, that can find you so much easier than when I started out. It honestly blows my mind when I look back, and sometimes I get a little frustrated, like, wow, why aren't I where I think I should be by now, right? And I'm like, give myself a break. I've been putting in the work for 2 decades, and we just didn't have that. We didn't have all the tools back then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's that thought creeps into my head a decent amount too. And recently I've done like a perspective shift. And it was just like, at least from my own experience, it's like, when it's like, oh, I'm not where I should be, it's like, it doesn't feel good. Right? It doesn't make you want to do more to get to where you should be. Oftentimes it shuts you down. And so the perspective shift I've tried to take on is like, and I think this is, you know, for any of our listeners too, that I'm sure a lot of people have that thought. It's rather than saying I'm not where I should be, it's like, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yes.
You know, and it brings the power back into your hand to say, I'm exactly where I should be. Now all of a sudden you're powerful rather than powerless, and you can start taking steps to get to where you want to be in a year or 5 years or 10 years or 22 years, you know?
Absolutely. And there's lessons in it all. Wherever you're at, you're meant to be there. Yeah. There's lessons there, and dig a little deeper. But definitely, you said persistence. I would say patience, perseverance, right? Those three P's. Just keep going. And in this world where instant gratification is so the norm,
right?
We post something and 2 seconds later, we're looking for likes and comments already. It's, you know, when you're building a business, when you're building it, especially from scratch, and there is no template, there is no guide, you know, you're literally making it up like I did there. You know, you really just have to keep going no matter what, if that's your dream.
Yeah. I love it. So if we go, you know, continue down your story, I'm curious, at what point, you know, obviously a lot of what you do today, you have the book, The Art of Badassery, you have the podcast, The Art of Badassery, which, by the way, everybody go check that out. I'm curious, like, when was the moment in your life because, you know, I'm a believer, like, it's like we have little moments where we go, this is when I made the decision to say, this is what I'm going to do. And so for you, when was the moment that you went, the art of badassery, like, this is something I believe in. I've lived this. This has helped me in my life. I know this can help, you know, millions of other people. When was kind of the inception of this? Because this has really been a huge chapter of, you know, the last bit of your life.
Yes, for sure. Well, there are a few little moments, right? Magic moments that I can remember. And the first is being in a Tony Robbins, I call them concerts, but, you know, seminars.
I love that.
And just like looking around the room at these thousands of people being mesmerized by this man, and we're dancing on the chairs and we're clapping and we're singing. And then when he works with someone and you're just, wow, you're watching the transformation take place in real time. Yeah. It really, for me, was so inspiring and mind blowing. And I remember having a moment of saying, like, if I had a fraction of that kind of impact on the world, with people in my life, that would be a very worthy calling for me. And I want to be a public speaker one day. Now, again, from that moment to when I was actually doing it took at least 10 years. I'm just on the slow train. That's okay. Because I moved across country. I started from scratch. I was always, working on how do I pay the bills now? And at the same time, work towards the North Star. And I think that is something that loads of people, especially younger people right now, struggle with. It's right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I want to write a book. I want to become a speaker. I want to do all these things. And rent is due at the end of the month. So what do I do? You know? So it was always that, you know, health coaching, training people in the meantime. But when I finally got the art of badassery was when I put together a keynote for a company, and I can't even remember which one it was, but it started to grow over time and develop over time. And then when I finally sat down to actually write the book, so now I'm doing the keynote, I'm traveling around the country. I had my biggest audience in 2018 with Bacardi. The Art of Badassery killed it. The audience loved it. And it wasn't until I sat down in 2020 to write the book that all of a sudden it hit me that the Art of Badassery is actually can be a framework, right? It's like a framework that you walk through from white belt to black belt. So it wasn't until I was writing the chapters that I coded them, color coded them, and it all made sense. Like it all came together. In like a big brain dump from the universe.
Those are the best universal brain dumps. They're magical. It's like, oh my God, where did this thing come from? I love more.
totally. Sign me up. Plug me in.
Yeah. That is so cool. Well, so let me ask you this then. So, you know, if we go back to the beginning stages, you said you got a keynote, and that was kind of the first time you brought the Art of Badassery to the world. And I'm curious, did you, like, if we look at sort of the technicals of this, did you say, I'm going to create the Art of Badassery, and then I'm going to go find someone to do this? Or was it that an opportunity came and you said, yes, sure, and now I'm going to figure it out? Like, kind of how did that sort of evolve? Because I think the initial stage, you know, it's like you're pushing that boulder. That's the hardest thing to start moving. So I'm curious, as you started it, now it's evolved and the snowball's clearly moving. But as you started pushing that boulder, kind of, walk us through that.
So it goes back a few years. Even prior to that, I knew that I wanted to do public speaking, right? So I said, well, what should I start with? Well, my self-defense is something I know in and out. I teach it all the time. And what's a great audience? With college women. So I went and realized that there's this whole college speaking circuit and people get paid for that. So instead of going and pitching myself like a self-defense instructor in sneakers and workout clothes, I started pitching myself as a speaker on safety and sexual assault awareness. Dressed myself up. I put on a blazer and heels. I made a PowerPoint, you know, and now I'm pitching myself as a paid professional public speaker versus a self-defense instructor. So branding, identity, all of that came into play.
Yeah.
You know, like an up leveling, if you will.
Totally.
So once I started doing that and I'm traveling all around the country, I spoke at over 55 colleges now total. I got used to speaking and then I started developing more content. So instead of now just safety, now I'm pitching safety and wellness or safety. And then I developed the art of badassery at some point along that line. And like I said, it wasn't until this Bacardi event kind of called on me, found me because of my name. Again, just, I literally remember the woman saying she Googled badass speaker and my name.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because they wanted the theme of the conference to be something about, you know, being a badass. So there's Jen Sincero who wrote You Are a Badass. And I'm sure I know she charges like six-figure speaking. Yeah. And then there was me. So
amazing.
She reached out and so that was the first big one on stage in front of 500 people where I really had to like nail it.
Yeah. That is so cool. That's such an awesome journey. And man, what a fun ride. I'm guessing it's probably been.
It's been fun, wild ride. There was lots of wild stuff in between. I mean, while I'm doing that, I'm building the speaking. Like I said, I had to pay the bills. Yeah. So at some point living in LA, all of a sudden I'm training like VIP clients and now I'm traveling around the world with VIP clients and, you know, working on my business at the same time. So again, what you see from the outside is always the highlights, but the day to day is I'm still working my tail off to pay the bills in other ways.
Yeah. Heck yeah. So let's dive into then maybe a little bit of, you know, give our listener kind of an idea of like what this whole art of badassery is about. And I think a really cool place we could start is if you could just share with our listener, like, what is your sort of definition of badassery? Like, you know, what is that?
Yeah, good question. Because that is a question I sometimes start out my talks with. It's What does that word mean to you when you say like, I am a badass? How does it feel? A lot of people will say things like, I feel confident. I feel, you know, it's like grit, inner strength, mental toughness. It's a subjective word. For me, I love power. I think it's really powerful, feeling powerful in this world, in all areas of your life. So you can get through the lows and achieve the highs, right? I think a lot of people think of badass and they think of just the highs. I kind of am almost the opposite. I think of the people that have been through the lows and been able to overcome them. To me, that's true badassery.
Yeah,
the definition in the Urban Dictionary is engaging in seemingly impossible activities and achieving success in a manner that renders all onlookers completely awestruck.
I love that. That is so cool. So then if we dive into the, you know, helping our listener become more badassery, right? If that's the more badass, right?
More badass.
You know, the way you structured, as you mentioned, is you go through the different belts, right? As far as that's kind of the structure of the book. And the first, you know, part is getting your white belt. And, you know, you kind of put this part as like embracing the suck, is I think the way you kind of mention it, right? It's like owning the suck, I guess. And so I'm curious, you know, if someone is starting down the path of, you know, the art of badassery, can you kind of expand upon that a little bit as far as like, why does someone, if they're going on the road to being a badass, why do they start with the suck? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I use martial arts as a metaphor. So showing up to the dojo is sometimes hard for some people. Can feel, you know, uncomfortable. You're putting on this weird uniform, you're bowing, you're doing all these different things that are not in your everyday routine. So then all of a sudden you're on the mat and now all of a sudden you're teamed up and people are like punching at you and kicking at you and trying to take you down. And I feel like that's the journey of life in a way. You will meet your opponents on the mat in your dojo of life, whether they be other people or life circumstances, right? And for many people, they meet those opponents at a very young age. So if you're lucky enough to not have any major challenges, if you were lucky enough to walk through a pretty easy childhood, good for you. But it doesn't mean you're not going to meet opponents later in life. And right. It doesn't also mean that your peers and everyone around you had it as easy as you. So there's just a lot of lessons in the white belt about, you know, again, being aware of other folks and where they've come from, but also not letting your past stop you from living your dream life or going after your dream life. And those things from our past are the things that we need to embrace and say, you know what? They happened and I can't change the past, but I can change my reaction to it. Yeah. I can change the direction of my life no matter where I'm at.
Heck yeah. I love it. And I think that's a perfect, just a perfect lesson for, you know, someone, again, our listener, if we have a listener that's, you know, doesn't feel quite as fulfilled as they want what they're doing, doesn't feel quite like they're quite in their purpose and, you know, living purposefully or intentionally. It's like, it's such a powerful thing to say, okay, my past is my past and I'm not going to change that, but I can make a decision today to say my past doesn't have to equal my future.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely. And yeah, and I'm curious, what other lessons do you think people can pull from the art of badassery to like live a more passion, fulfilling, happy life if they're, you know, kind of going through the motions, not really feel like they're totally in their purpose? Like, what other kind of lessons can they pull from the art of badassery to get more on track, to live purposeful, intentful, and a life that, you know, they just wake up in the morning and they're excited about?
There's so many because there's 7 chapters. But really quickly, I can, you know, skim through and then really stop on my favorite, which I think would, at least for this podcast. But Yellow Belt is about bouncing back. So if you are going through a difficult time right now, here are ways from the mat, right, on how we bounce back, how we get up after we fall. Orange Belt is about setting boundaries, learning to block the negativity coming your way. Again, from other people, places, things. And sometimes our biggest enemy is really ourselves, right? It's our negative self-talk, which we get into in Green Belt. Green Belt level is about harnessing the power of your voice, both outwardly, so communicating to the world in a powerful way, and communicating to yourself in a powerful way. That is my favorite section. It's my favorite chapter. It's my favorite life work, and the things I like to teach on the most is your inner dialogue, you know, slaying the inner saboteur, because it is the thing that could literally make or break you.
Yeah. So cool. Heck yeah. And then once you find your voice, what does someone need to do to get to black belt?
Yes. So once you've harnessed the power of your key up, we call it, which is a spirited yell. It's that noise that people make on the mat, you know?
Yeah.
Then we get to blue belt. We learn about our chi, our energy, our life force energy, and how essentially at this level, if you don't stop and pause and look at how you're taking care of your body, you're going to run out of that chi, right? You're going to lose your energy. So it's a moment to really take care of yourself, do some self-care work. Red belt level is about slowing down to speed up. Again, I love this chapter. We talk about intuition. We talk about meditation, mindfulness. Yeah. Because at that level as a martial artist, the higher I got, the more I deepened my meditation. And truly, truly, even after I left the dojo in New York, I have since yet to go even deeper in my meditation because it's such a big practice in my life. And it's probably the thing that makes the biggest difference in my life. Happiness, joyfulness, peacefulness, grit, the perseverance, all of it happens in my 15 minute meditation in the morning. Then lastly, we enter the level of the black belt. And at this level, you start to realize that it is not about all the skills I'm gathering, the titles I'm gathering, the money in my bank account, et cetera, et cetera. It's not all about me anymore. It's about how am I giving back to the world? Because at black belt level in the dojo, it was truly about leadership, becoming a teacher, a mentor, and a coach who helps lift others up through the ranks as well.
So cool. So I'm curious, you know, you talk about one of the biggest impacts, it sounds like, through that. And obviously, so many different impacts in different places. So, you know, I'm sure you got multiple top 10. sort of situation. But one of the ones you spoke on, which I'd love to dig a little deeper into, is this idea of meditation, right? Mindfulness, right? Where I'm someone as well, where most mornings I say I'm probably, 80 to 90% on it every day, you know, have my days, mm-hmm. weekends, sometimes I don't do it. And I do, about 10 minutes in the morning. It's not super long. It's short enough where it's like, okay, I got at least 10 minutes. And if I don't have 10 minutes, I really need 10 minutes, mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like at kind of a high level, just mm-hmm. so that our listener, if they're going, I'm up for having more meditation or mindfulness, or, maybe my brain is all over the place and it would be good to just mm-hmm. sit. I'm curious at a high level, kind of what does your meditation practice look like?
Yeah. It's pretty much three parts. The first part is breathing. And so I'll just do slow, deep diaphragmatic breathing. Hmm. Usually inhale for five, hold for somewhere like eight or longer, and then do a nice long 8 second exhale as well. And I just do that until it feels good. So there's no like timer or anything, but I just keep going until I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to deepen, 3, 2, 1, and I go deeper. And that's when I start a little bit of gratitude practice. I'll just bring things to mind that I'm super grateful for to kind of ignite that feeling in my body.
Yeah.
And then the third part is really the visualization. So what am I looking forward to? What am I creating? What does that look like? Where am I in the world? I mean, it's that kind of doesn't have a lot of structure. I just kind of float from thing to thing, but my career is a huge part of my life and my identity, and I'm not sorry about that. It's really focused mostly on my career because my career then creates my lifestyle, et cetera.
I love that. So cool. Well, Jen, it has been such a joy mm-hmm. to dive through your life, your journey, your story. And so I'm curious, for our listener, if they're going, I need more Jen in my life, I need some more badassery, where's the best place for them to find you, hang out with you, and just kind of spend more time in your world?
Yeah. My website's jennifercassetta.com. I tend to hang out mostly on Instagram at Jen Cassetta, 2 N's, 2 S's, 2 T's, and cool. LinkedIn would be my second favorite.
Okay, heck yeah. And I know recently...
I just launched the podcast. So the podcast is definitely there to start your binge at The Art of Badassery.
Love it, love it. So last question I have for you is a question we ask to all of our guests because we really want to help our listener find direction, but we also believe in doing it through action. What would you say is one thing our listener could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Journal. I would start to just have like a 5 minute or 10 minute. When I'm pushing myself, I'll do 10 minutes on my phone timer and sit down and write and start with a prompt that would say something like, where do I find joy in life? And this is off the top of my head. So something, or what is my North Star? Even a question like that, just to get the juices flowing. I feel once you put pen to paper and you force yourself to do it, all of a sudden if you just keep writing and keep writing, all these ideas just start flowing. So maybe start there.
Heck yeah. Perfect. Well, Jen, thank you again so much for being here. And we massively, massively appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you, Stu. And thanks everyone for listening.
Absolutely. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that will light up your soul. And that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I want to say thank you, as always, for joining me on this show. I hope you got some nuggets from Jen. And more importantly, as always, I hope you go out and start applying some to your life, because we all know that that's where the change begins, when you take it from an idea to actually applying it in your life. Other than that, my friend, have a beautiful, wonderful, outstanding rest of your day, and I will talk to you on the podcast soon. Take care.